and welcome to the latest episode of the ERP Strategies and Solutions podcast series. In this series, we'll join ERP specialists, business owners, industry insiders, and others to explore the business benefits of ERP. Now, here's your host, Chris Carroll.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Carroll. Thanks for joining us for another installment of ERP Strategies and Solutions, the podcast series. Today's podcast is a Q&A session, a follow-up to a recent webinar hosted by Panorama Consulting Group. I'm going to be speaking with Eric Kimberling, president of Panorama Consulting, and Nick Massera, director of implementation with Panorama, asking them a few questions about lessons learned with best-in-class ERP implementations. Eric and Nick are ready to answer a few questions, so here we go. Guys, in your opinion, when a client does not care about or invest in change management with the implementation of a new ERP system, what are the impacts that you have seen? What is the impact of basically not spending the time or money on organizational change management?
What I would say is that if you don't care about or invest in change management and an ERP system, what ends up happening is it turns into a very technical project. So it becomes very technically focused. You focus most of your time and energy on how is the software going to work? What can we, how do we want to configure the software? But what ends up happening then is that people that actually need to make the project successful, which are the end users, aren't informed on how the software really works or how the business processes work, and they aren't kind of brought along for the ride, if you will. So that by the time you go live, you have a big disconnect there between what you've designed and what you've implemented versus what the end users are actually able to accomplish. I don't know, Nick, what are your thoughts there?
Well, Eric, on change management, I've been involved in three areas or three implementations. Two of them had problems where change management was not put into place. Put into place in one of the circumstances, but not done effectively. Change management in the third instance, and there's many instances, but these three in particular, in the third instances went quite well. A lot of people think that change management, is not required. Yet, people within the organization, especially people at the worker level, are very afraid of very large implementations. They're afraid about their job. They're afraid about, what's going to happen if they don't understand the software and so forth. Change management really is a process for teaching people how to change from what they're doing, and where they're going in the new system. So a very critical part, especially in ERPs or large software projects.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. And you made a good point that people are afraid, and that's something that I didn't mention or didn't think of in the response, is that, you don't want people to be afraid of, what's going to happen to their job, or you don't want them thinking about that kind of stuff. You want them to be thinking about, how am I going to use this new system? How am I, what do my new processes look like? And if you make that stuff clear for people throughout the project, even prior to go live, then they're just going to be a lot more comfortable and they're going to be a lot more efficient in their jobs once the system is up and running.
Right. It helps them go through the process of change over to the new systems, which are, again, they are frightening to the average person.
Now, in your experience, where exactly do you see the hard dollar benefits of a new ERP system?
I can rattle off a few that we look at, and Nick, be curious to see what you think. But when we're helping a client evaluate software and develop a business case and ROI justification for a project or for an investment in ERP, some of the major areas we look at are, we look at two major categories, labor benefits and non-labor benefits. On the non-labor benefit side, those are things like your inventory levels, your accounts receivable or days receivable outstanding, your fixed assets. That's another one that can be affected by ERP depending on the scope of that. So we look at those non-labor, the capital benefits, but then we also look at the labor benefits. And this is where we look at process efficiencies. So if there's, we look for manual redundancies in business processes or maybe areas where you've got a lot of people doing redundant work. But we start to look at, if you're talking about hard dollars, obviously you're going to come out of this analysis with some soft dollars, because if you've got, one person in a department and you're going to make their job 10% more efficient, well, you're not going to eliminate 10% of a payroll or 10% of a head there. But, you know, that's a soft benefit in that you've got that 10% that you could use for some other activity or some other high value activity. In other areas on the labor side, you may see that, you know, you've got a department of 20 people and you could, you know, increase efficiency by 20%, in which case, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there to either hire less people in the future, reallocate people if they can be used elsewhere, or in some cases, maybe cutting headcount, which I know, unfortunately, a lot of companies are looking at now with recession the way it is. So those are some of the major ones. I don't know, Nick, if you have other hard benefits that you've looked at throughout your career.
Actually, you know, there are several. ERPs are some of the toughest pieces of software to, you know, justify, but it's varied. One is the integration, the sheer integration of a lot of disparate systems, which is what we tend to see a lot of. So by the time you've integrated them, you know, into an ERP, which we like to say is when you scratch your knee, you feel it in the elbow. That type of integration, which we see in ERP, actually tends to eliminate a lot of processes, you know, throughout your system. The other is in the processes themselves. Because now they are integrated, as we start to go through the process flows, we see that several pieces are eliminated. Several functions that were done manually now are contained within the system, and because they are highly integrated, they eliminate other processes. So a big part of the ER implementation. All of a sudden you see visibility is another. A lot of people really can't look through the enterprise, especially when we look at international levels, but they don't really see inventory as an example. They don't see it across the enterprise. So they get a one-off win out of that because they're able to optimize inventory management a lot better. And a lot of the packages also have implied within them and through their configurations, getting more like this, the best practices for that industry that's embedded, you know, inside of the software. So there's a lot of benefit from that. So those are just some examples. But I would say the processes would be, and process change would be one of the biggest.
Nick, what about IT costs and your experience? You know, are those hard dollars where you could say, you know, we're going to reduce, you know, or cut our IT infrastructure cost, or perhaps cut IT staff? Are those real numbers, or are those more soft benefits?
No, I think what happens, it depends on if you look into scenarios now where a lot of people moving to, and I know understand what we say when we say cloud computing means a lot, but when they went gone into hosting centers now where the cost has dropped tremendously, okay? So there's some kind of a benefit in there, but probably enhances more things along the Sarbanes-Oxley and so a lot of the control side of that. But I would say that when you tend to go to an ERP, especially on a global level, sometimes you eliminate redundant tasks that are performed by information systems. And that, you know, you get some benefit, you know, inside of that. It just depends on the organization.
Okay. Now, how do you calculate the ROI of an ERP implementation? How do you do that?
If you go to Panorama's website, there's something a feature we just added under our resource center that is an ERP ROI calculator. Very high level, very simple, simplistic calculator that allows you to kind of figure out, you know, based on number of employees and carrying costs and that sort of thing, what are, you know, your actual costs going to be and what are your actual benefits going to be, you know, just based on average metrics that we have. And that gives you a very, you know, simple return on investment and a payback period in a number of years. So, you know, if you'd like, feel free to go to that spot on our website. Again, it's under the resource center on our website. But in general, the general way you would do that to calculate ROI is obviously cost is the first thing. You want to look at what is your total cost of ownership. You want to make sure you're not just looking at the software license cost and maybe some basic technical configuration cost. You want to look at everything. You want to look at additional project management costs, additional organizational change management costs, any upgrades or changes to your infrastructure you need to make. Those need to be factored in. Data migration. So you put together a full-blown cost estimate and also the timing of those costs. And then you want to look at your those hard dollars that we just talked about. the things that you know you can quantify that you can actually translate into real dollars, you want to then lay that out on a, you know, generally a 7 to 10 year cash flow based horizon to look at, you know, what is our payback period? What is the ROI based on some of those metrics? So that's a real simple version of how we will generally help our clients do that. I don't know, Nick, do you have other thoughts to add to that?
Not too much, Garrick. I think you really covered them. The calculator, you know, helps a lot on that. I just make sure that you're calculating that over larger periods of time with ERPs because they, you know, they tend to be in an organization for 8 or 10 years.
Let's take a break for just a moment. You're listening to ERP Strategies and Solutions. More Q&A with Eric and Nick coming up.
You're listening to ERP Strategies and Solutions. Not sure which direction to go with your ERP initiative? Having trouble getting your ERP implementation completed on time without compromising tangible benefits? Panorama Consulting Group is an independent ERP consulting firm focused on ERP software selection, implementation, and organizational change management. So whether you're about to select your ERP software, need help with implementation, or need to get more out of your existing ERP software, Panorama can help your organization reduce its ERP cost and risk while optimizing business benefits. In fact, compared to the average organization, Panorama's clients implement their ERP solutions at less than 50% of the cost and in 10% less time. Some of Panorama's clients include Samsonite, Kodak, Coldwater Creek, Maxon Lift, and Ashcroft Incorporated.
Call Panorama at 303-974-7171. That's 303-974-7171.
Or visit us on the web at www.panorama-consulting.com.
You're in the middle of a Q&A session regarding best-in-class ERP implementations and the lessons learned about those with Panorama Consulting Group's Eric Kimberling and Nick Massera. Now, gentlemen, as you well know, and as our listeners well know, there are so many different ERP software packages in the marketplace to choose from. When Panorama helps a client implement ERP, do you have resources for all ERP systems, or do you involve partners there?
Well, first of all, we start out with a software selection process. That I'll call that phase one for right now. And Panorama has, you know, all of the staffing for that. And that staffing is varied across several experiences, across several different packages, if you will. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we go through that process. We lead it into, now we have selected the software and we fall into what we call program management, implementation program management. From there, we involve, depending on the client and the business, we will involve a partner in the technical configuration of that. Panorama has its own disciplines in organizational change management, as well as all of the process flow and the documentation on that, which we have to get right, the blueprinting or design phase of that, which then we work with, and it's generally a value added, or it's sometimes a software vendor, depending on, again, the customer, to have that configured, and then through all the way to the end. So we manage everything end to end, but within the technical configuration, where we will leverage a software vendor or the VAR, and then we have experts on staff who make sure that you know, all of the processes within that are running properly.
And what would you say, Eric, Nick, what are the top three ERP systems that Panorama has implemented?
That's a tough one. I mean, it's pretty well spread out all over the place. I mean, everything, you know, obviously SAP and Oracle are pretty common because of their market share, and especially our bigger clients are more likely to choose SAP or Oracle. But the tier twos, there's just a lot of tier twos that we've helped implement for our different clients. And actually another spot on our website has over the last, I think the last 10 or 12 ERP projects. In fact, since we're online here, I can just pull it up here. But it pulls up, there's a grid that shows the last several projects that we have selected and helped clients implement. And this is under company and then under sample experience with ERP vendors. There's a little table here. It needs to be updated. It's a little bit outdated right now, but it kind of shows you our recent clients, where they are the number of systems we looked at, which shortlisted options we shortlisted, and then which one we ended up recommending and helped implement. So you can kind of see, if you look through this list, it's pretty well spread out. I mean, there's no real common, I hate to say it, but there's no real commonality here other than, you know, it depends on the company, it depends on the industry and that sort of thing. But you can kind of see there's some that occur a couple times on here, like SAP, Oracle, Epicor, Infor, I believe is on there a couple times, Microsoft Dynamics. So I don't know if that fully answers the question, but it should give you a flavor for some of the systems we've helped implement.
Okay. So how can an implementing company accept the core functionality of a software and minimize customization? So as someone working on a project team going down the path of implementing ERP, there's a desire or a want by a lot of the team members to customize the software, right? So what can you do to try and keep the team on track and leverage the software as it is, rather than trying to do a lot of customization there?
It's a great question. It's in my book, it's one of the number one things you never do. An ERP has just millions of lines of code development behind it. And when you go in there, if you're trying to change it directly, you're affecting those millions of lines. And so if you ever really want to understand why you don't, go back to the list of really when we look at ERP disasters, any of those, and specifically, some of the ones that were on the list, Eric, were the result of customization and clearly defining what customization means. A lot of the software is designed to interface or call out to external modules. That's different than trying to customize or change the intent and direction of the software itself. We, in many areas, in many projects, make them go through a sign-off by senior management for any type of customization that takes place in the system itself. So you really try to avoid it, and if you do have to do it, you really try and do calls to the outside of the software if you can. Does that answer that, Eric?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great response. And you bring up a good point, too, which is, you know, how do you define customization? Because, you know, customization is different than configuration. Configuration in general, and I think you would agree with this, Nick, configuration is generally okay. I mean, you need to configure the software, but that's not changing the code. That's customization is where you change the code, and that's the part you want to avoid. But if you're talking, sometimes people use the term customization loosely, and they think that if you configure the software, change the settings of the software, that's, you know, customizing it, but really you're not. So that,
right.
I think that's an important clarification.
Right, and I think I would suggest to the person that asked the question that you really to go through and look at the disasters or get a hold of us. We can walk through some of that. But we highly recommend that you do not customize ever a vendor software. And try and utilize the utilities that they provide, for the call out, if you will.
And if in the rare case that you do need to customize something, it should be, like Nick said, really very highly justified. It should be something that's just key to your business. It's a key competitive advantage or a key differentiator, something that you absolutely have to have. It shouldn't be, you know, something that you probably could just adopt from the standard software.
Okay. And how much time would you say that Panorama Consulting spends, the team is going to spend on site with a client percentage-wise?
Nick, what do you think? Do you want to take that one?
Well, I always use the expression, as much as possible. There, in an ERP, there's a bonding in the entire group. This is why you want to use your A team. There's also a bonding between the software vendor or the VAR in Panorama. In this case, because it's a very, very tough thing to do implementing an ERP. So when I say as much as possible, it's clearly over 50%, more like 70. It depends on the phase of the project you're in. In software selection, you can get away with maybe doing, a 50% on-site piece. But no, as you move towards implementation, you're really almost there every day. Making sure that the project is going well and managing all the resources into being.
I've been speaking with Eric Kimberling, president of Panorama Consulting Group, and Nick Massera, director of implementation with Panorama. And I want to thank them once again for joining us as we wrap up this Q&A session on lessons learned with best-in-class ERP implementations right here on ERP Strategies and Solutions. Remember, if you've got questions about any of the stuff that we've covered here today, always feel free to check out Panorama's website at www.panorama-consulting.com. This is Chris Carroll. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Register for our free weekly ERP webcast series, download white papers, or read our ERP research on our website. Email us at info@panorama-consulting.com or visit us on the web at panorama-consulting.com.
Or call 303-974-7171.
And be sure to subscribe to this podcast series for more ERP strategies and solutions.